I'd like to speak to you this morning on this theme, for the work of Christ. For the work of Christ. Bible preaching, which we do our best to have here all the time, set aside what we want as preachers, but we want what the Bible says, and I hope as a listener that's what you want. But Bible preaching demands a verdict. What does that mean? It requires a decision. We do not preach the Word of God simply for information's sake. I'm going to give you a bunch of information, and so when you leave here, you have more information about Epaphroditus and Paul, etc. That is not the purpose of Bible preaching. The Word of God is alive, and it is given to you, it is given to me for transformation, to take us from being one way to making us into another way. You cannot be saved unless you come to the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I'm a Christian today, not because my dad is one and my mother is one, although they are, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm a Christian today because the Word of God. Took me from being in darkness and it brought me into light. It took me from being, is this not working? No, okay, this broke. All right, I already broke it. Let's go with this one. Satan's all over the place, I'm telling you. And he's in PA systems every time we go to mission conference, especially. Probably because there's no battery, guys. These are dead. That one's dead. Okay, I'll stay right here. The Lord's saying don't move, you might fall. Okay. And I'm listening to the Lord, okay. If it's two for two, then I'm staying put. The Word of God took me from darkness and into light. But that's not the end of the Word of God in my life as a believer. The Word of God is what enables you. It's what enables us to speak. It gives us boldness. And so preaching demands a verdict. There's no other book like the Word of God. It isn't preached this morning, I pray, for simply you to walk out of here and say, oh, that is good to know. It is meant to lead you and me. By the way, I'm preaching to the preacher today as much as any of you, and this text has been preaching to me for some time as well. It is meant for us to make a decision. What are we going to do with what we hear? By the way, no decision is a decision. Apathy is a decision. And it's running wild in churches today. And as the under-shepherd of this one, I know it's here too. Because I know it's in my life at times. And I have to repent of that apathetic spirit. So no decision is a decision. You can't get away with that one today. Because that is the decision. You're deciding not to listen and obey. Not the preacher, but the Spirit of God through the Word of God. This message will be difficult to receive. I'm praying to receive it as well. This message is for each one of us to decide something. It is an urgent appeal for a call to action. Think about this. It is an urgent appeal for a call to action. It is meant to stir the apathetic ones here today and to repent and to join in the service of the Lord. By the way, don't think it's your neighbor beside you. It's you, who needs to repent of an apathetic spirit if that's the case. Don't think this message is for your husband or for your wife or for your kids. It's for you. It's for me. My question to us this morning is, what are we currently doing for the work of Christ? What are we doing for the work of Christ? This man that we're looking at in the Bible today, his name is Epaphroditus. Very little is written about this man, by the way. And it says here that in verse number 30, and a statement that jumps off the pages of Scripture, it says that he was a man who was not regarding his life. He is a key laborer in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. By the way, his name indicates something to us. It indicates that he was not a Jew because his name comes from the Greek god Aphrodite. So he has pagan upbringing. Okay, so this man was not someone who was born in the church nursery. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, he didn't come to church as an infant. I'm glad for the babies that are here today. Hallelujah. I'm glad for all the kids that are here today. But that's not, Epaphroditus didn't grow up that way. He was from a pagan culture. See, God can take anyone, it doesn't matter what their upbringing is, God can take anyone who is willing to say yes to him and not regard their life. By the way, that is so convicting. Epaphroditus is simply a term that means favorite of Aphrodite, by the way. No Christian would name their child this name. Excuse me, but I don't know too many Christians, and I know we have some former Muslims in here, and you'll be okay with this. I don't know too many Christians that name their son Muhammad. Do you? So it's the same. Not exactly, I'm not trying to say the same, but it's a similar way that this man had a name that identified him. Okay? It did not identify him as an independent Baptist. All right? Are you with me? They didn't have it back then, so it's okay though. All right? But it identified him as a pagan, as a non-believer in the one true God. He came out of a family like this. Likely his family even worshiped this goddess. We don't know this. I'm not adding to the scripture. I'm just saying if we just study it, we got to study it, right? We got to look at it and find out where does this come from. And we're not adding, we're just digging, all right? That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. So I hope this isn't the only time your Bible gets cracked open this week. All right, I hope this is the beginning of an adventure in the Word of God. And I had one this morning as well before coming here. And God really helped me. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. More than likely, this man Epaphroditus is the one who delivered the book of Philippians back to the church at Philippi. I mean, you talk about a transformation. You talk about from one thing to the next, from darkness to light. I mean, this man grew up in paganism, and now he's holding. Get this. Follow me now. I can't walk around and show you. But he's taking the Word of God, the written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, in his own two hands, and he's walking it all the way back to Philippi. What a job God gave him with the name Epaphroditus. Powerful. Powerful. He was burdened about this local church. We read that in our scripture today. He wasn't just burdened about this church. He was also burdened about foreign missions because he was burdened about Paul. Paul was the great missionary of the day, church planter, several missionary journeys, wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament you hold in your hand. And, of course, he has his own testimony for another time. Maybe you already know all about it. I think we can surmise that this man, Epaphroditus, was a man of sacrifice. The Word tells us this. We'll get to that in a moment. I wonder, as the Lord is speaking to our heart even now about this word sacrifice, could we think about it for just a moment? Could I even ask you today, growing up, and many of you have, but others from all parts of the world, so just think about it with me. Do we really know what this word means when it comes to the cause of Christ? I'm not talking about sacrifice in the sense of daily things. I'm talking about sacrifice in the cause of Christ. Some of them will merge together, but within the cause of Christ. I must say this morning that it is difficult for me to understand that word. For I grew up in North America my entire 52 years of life. I've had the privilege to visit many of these countries that are represented by these flags. And I will say that is when I witnessed sacrifice. Maybe for the first time. It makes it difficult when you live in a first world country to truly understand the word. By the way, Epaphroditus had nothing to gain from how he was serving the Apostle Paul. Think about it now. Epaphroditus, again, he's not a household name. Paul is. I mean, think about Paul, right? Paul. I mean, and I'm not taking anything away. How about Timothy? Timothy, another great name, right? And I don't know that Timothy honestly, he gets as much credit as he should have in the sense of, yes, Paul really helped him. But I think Timothy also was someone who was right on it and studying and learning. It doesn't matter who the teacher is. If you're not going to listen to the teacher, you're not going to grow. He can be loud. He can be quiet, right? But it's a matter of, what are we going to do? Preaching demands a verdict. I am not a lawyer, but I am a voice. I'm not John the Baptist by any stretch of the imagination. But I have a voice that still remains that God has given me. It is my responsibility and great privilege to lift up his name, to lift up his word for the cause of Christ. He had nothing to gain. He was in the minority. This word, let's go back to our text verse, not regarding his life. It actually comes from a word that means gambler. Now, as soon as I say that, you're immediately going to Vegas. Don't go to Vegas, okay? Stay right here. Not regarding his life. He was sent by the church at Philippi to deliver an offering to Paul and to be his personal servant. This man, I know, was a genuine man, or the church at Philippi would not have sent him to the Apostle Paul. A man of God, Epaphroditus, was willing to serve in whatever capacity was needed. I have to believe that he was a courageous man. Again, don't forget his upbringing. Paul was under house arrest at this time, 2 years of it. There was a risk involved. Maybe that is a word you want to grab a hold of. If you don't like the word gamble, I'm sorry. If you study it out, you're going to find what I'm telling you to be. I'm not telling you something I made up last night because I had too much pepperoni on my pizza. All right? Risk maybe is a better word. You might like that one. There was a risk involved for Epaphroditus. Leaving the comforts of home and go where it is risky. Leave the comforts of home and go where it is dangerous. I'm talking about the theme of the message today, church. The beginning of verse 30. For the work of Christ. Would you underline that in your Bible? For the work of Christ. Could you say that with me, church, please? For the work of Christ. This is not for the work of Anchor Baptist. This is not for the work of the pastor. This is not for the work of Pastor Yassin. This is for the work of Christ. We are in this, if you're saved, for the work of Christ. He is worthy. He hung on the cross and died for you and paid the penalty for my sin. And he said, it is finished. And he took all of the mockery and the ridicule and the beard ripping out and all of that and the fists that were beat upon him and the cat of nine tails whipped around him and the crown of all of that. We're talking about somebody, the only one who is worthy for the work of Christ. This is not about building a kingdom in Burnaby. This is about building a kingdom for the Lord. And he says, you can do that. Wow, what a privilege. To leave the comforts of home and go where you could be arrested. He could be arrested. But he's going for the work of Christ. Not for him, for the work of Christ. Paul was under house arrest himself. Why? For the work. Why should it change? I'm not saying let's go out there and break the law. That's not what I'm saying. But you know many of these countries. Hello, right here. You go over there and walk up and down the streets of Tehran and say Jesus saves and long enough, you might have somebody come talk to you. And I'm not talking about wanting to know all about Jesus. There will be some people like that, though. And I could point to many others. For the cause, for the work of Christ. To leave the comforts of home, a home and go where very few, if other people, are going. I knew the answer when I looked it up, but the most unreached group of people in the world is the 1040 window. It still is. The fewest people that are surrendering to missions. By the way, I had this young man, I think it was you that asked me this the other day, or somebody did. They said, how many people do you know are planning to come to Vancouver and plant a church? And I said, zero. Can you believe that? I don't know anybody, and I don't know everybody, of course, but I don't know anybody that is on their way or thinking about or even praying about coming to the third largest city, can reach the world in one city, don't need to learn another language. You can speak English, come here. You can try to reach the whole world. That I don't know of anyone in all the Baptist churches and all the independent Baptist schools and all of it that are on their way to Vancouver. That breaks my heart. Is God done calling? Come on, you know the answer to the question. No, but many are done listening. Many are listening for the career. Many are listening for the job. Many are listening for the promotion. Many are listening for this, that, and the other thing. And God is saying, hey, for the work of Christ, time is of the essence. Leave the comforts of home and take the most precious message to a people who need it but really do not want it. You know, there's people in all these countries that if you went to them and talked to them about the gospel, not all of them are going to say, what must I do to be saved? But when we plant the seed and God allows us to plant the seed and the Holy Spirit of God takes over from there, because we cannot convince, convict, and convert. That is the job of the Holy Spirit of God. But we are responsible to deliver the truth for the work of Christ. Epaphroditus took a job that meant he was not regarding his life. In the early days of the church, there was an association of men and women called Parabolani, the gamblers. It was their aim to visit the prisoners and the sick, especially those who were ill with dangerous and infectious diseases. In AD 252, a plague broke out in Carthage. The heathen threw out the bodies of their dead and fled in terror. Cyprian, the Christian bishop, gathered his congregation together and set them to burying the dead and nursing the sick in that plague-stricken city. And by so doing, they saved the city at the risk of their lives from destruction and desolation. We are not talking about people that are sick with a disease of physical nature, but we are talking about a world of over 8 billion. I remember hearing over 6 billion, and some of you could say, I remember hearing less than that in your time. I'm not saying you're old, but you're not old. You're just more mature, okay? But now it's over 8 billion. And without Christ, guess what? They're all diseased, like I was. And they need somebody to not regard their life. In verse 25, we see that he has five titles. Three refer to his relationship with Paul. My brother. I love that, don't you? I love all these men in here today that know the Lord. I love all of you, even if you don't know the Lord. But I can't call you a brother unless you know the Lord. But I love that term, brother. I have two brothers. One of them is 6'4". Man, I'm jealous of that guy. I'm going to be 6'5 in heaven, though. I'll catch up to him one of these days. I've already put that in, so that's coming up. Just get ready, John. 6'5". You're going to look up to me one of these days. I mean, he went past me long ago in height. My sister, I think, is almost the same height as me. Maybe a little bit shorter. Okay, Sarah, don't get too jealous. But my other brother, Matt, he's taller than me. I love my brothers. I'm talking about born of the same womb as mine that I came from. I love them. But you know what? The family of God, the brothers, and you, I'm not saying that that excludes you sisters, okay? But Paul was referring to a man, so he said his brother. That's a great relationship, isn't it? I mean, yes, yesterday there was this room, these rooms were filled with ladies that love the Lord. And they're sisters, and they're my sisters, and they're your sisters. But all that term, brother, in the midst of the battles of the light of life, in the midst of the work of Christ, Paul says, I've got a brother. I've got a brother in Epaphroditus. Can I encourage you? Be that brother. Be that sister for someone. Be that Barnabas for someone. Be that encourager. Be that one that is a brother. Then he said, he's not only my brother, but then he said, he's my companion in labor. Wow. Companion in labor. You know what that means? That means he was helping with the work of God. Paul was not doing it by himself. He had Epaphroditus who was helping along the way. What a great description of this man. Very little known, but such powerful words in the Word of God about him. Do you find yourself as being in the family of God? Are you saved today? Are you saved? If you died right now, if you died tonight, if you didn't wake up in the morning because your body gave up the ghost in the middle of the night, would you be in the presence of God or would you not be? Oh, I pray that the Word of God is convicting you, that you know you need Jesus. And on this 26th day of October 2025, you will say yes to Jesus and no to everything else that you're trusting in. And then Jesus will come in the form of the Holy Spirit of God and indwell you and allow you to be a fellow companion in the work of Christ. We don't need less laborers, we need more. We don't need fewer people to come help, we need more. We don't need less people to get gospel tracts today and take them with them, we need more. Paul said he is a fellow companion in labor. Then he said, number three, he said he's a fellow soldier. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, whatever the rest of it goes, the enemy. I may never fly over the enemy, something like that. I've been out of kids' classes for too long. Yes, sir. We need some soldiers. But I'm in the Lord's army. Are you? Doesn't matter if you grew up in a pagan home. Come on now. It doesn't matter if you didn't hear about Jesus till you were 28. Doesn't matter. You can be a fellow soldier. You can be a companion laborer. We're not fighting each other. Amen. Stop fighting other Christians. Fight the devil. You can be a family member of God. It's adoption time, folks. If you're not saved, the line, you don't have to wait in line. The adoption line is open 24/7. Then notice what he said about his relationship with the church. That was just with Paul. Then he says in verse 25, he says, but your messenger. Meaning Paul is saying that Epaphroditus has something to deliver you. He's got something for you. He's all these things for me, but for you, he's a messenger. By the way, we can be that messenger as well. We have a message to deliver that is not of our own. We have a message to deliver that is eternal. Then he said, lastly, he said, he ministered to my wants. What is he saying? He's saying, he's a servant. The greatest of these, Jesus said, is the servant. You don't have to go to college to be a servant. You don't need a certificate that says I passed all three levels of servanthood. You just say, God, I want to serve you for the work of Christ. What am I willing to do this morning that the cause of Christ, the work of Christ, might be advanced? What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to give up? Thank you for listening so well. What am I willing to give up that the cause and the work of Christ might be advanced? Am I willing to not regard my career? Should everybody quit their career and go? No, that's not what I'm saying. But fewer are going than ever before. Doesn't mean God is not asking and prodding and calling and all of this. Pardon me. It doesn't mean that at all. By the way, he's not giving up anything for the work of Christ. Really, the mindset ought to be, all of what I have doesn't even belong to me. So I'm not giving up anything. If God calls me into the ministry, praise the Lord, I'm not giving up anything. But if you're not following the leading of the Lord, whether it's to go into the ministry or to go to your neighbor with the gospel, you are living in sin. Sin. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's Bible, not Ben. Am I willing to not regard my life? I can't go there because there's too many diseases there. The water is terrible. It's hot all the time. I can't go there. I can't go there because, you know, nobody wants to hear the gospel there. I mean, it's a closed country. We call them creative access countries. Is there anything closed to God? Yeah, God looks down at certain countries and says, oh boy, that government, they're too hard for me. I'm going to have to skip over that one. I don't think so. I don't think so. Don't limit God. And it may not be for world evangelism, but it might be in your very home. Don't limit God. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. This one I remember. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his. The valleys are his. The stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. By the way, if you're saved, he's your God. He's a good God. He loves you. He loves this world. All these flags in the hallways, around the corner, down here. He loves the world. Am I willing today to not regard conveniences? By the way, the Apostle Paul also wrote, I quickly give you these, in the same book of the Bible. Maybe you want to turn to them quickly. They're just a couple pages from where you are. Chapter number 1, verse 21. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a great verse. I've read it my whole life, as long as I could read. I've heard it said many times. I don't know if I can truly say that I'm in the moment that I'm that willing. I need to be. That's why I'm preaching this message. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me and God. And I need to get to the place where I can say, I'm not regarding my life. If God is in it, I must do it. He writes in chapter 3, where we were just a moment ago, just past where we were in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. For Christ. In verse number 8, he writes of chapter 3, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And this is what he says about all the things that he lost. But do count them but dung. Refuse. Paul had a resume way longer than anybody in here. I mean, he was the cat's meow, okay? He was up there, educated in everything. I mean, he was a smart man, and he says, all of that is refuse. That I may win Christ. For the work Bible message this morning is very simple. It is a call for more people to say, I want to be Epaphroditus. But you don't have to be Epaphroditus. You can follow the lead and be yourself for the cause, for the work Christ. It is a call that can involve a surrender to leave the comforts of home and go to a foreign land. Is it really true that in a group this size, I don't know how many people are here today, great group, praise the Lord, to God be the glory. Is it really true that God's Spirit is not calling anyone in here? Is that really true? I have a hard time believing that. And I'm not saying just for the 7-year-olds and the 17-year-olds. It might be a 47-year-old that God is saying, surrender. Surrender. I'm not saying you're going to pick up your roots and automatically go to Iran or go to any of these other countries, go to China or go wherever, Scotland or any of these other countries that are represented. But it's surrender that's the key, that we would follow the willingness of this man, not regarding his life. Willing to take a risk if God is leading. Too many padded pews in our life. Too many padded pews in my life. When God takes the padding away, then what? He's still good. He's still faithful. It is a call that can involve you and me as a church to be on soul patrol right here, right now. Not going and leaving and going, but going outside this building and you know how it goes. You are now entering the mission field. What kind of a missionary have you been over the last week? How many opportunities have you missed? Or how many opportunities have you received? And you gave a gospel tract, or you gave a smile, or you gave a witness, or you gave something. See, this is where we come to. Because for the work of Christ, not for the patting on the back, not any of that. Please, would you with me today? Would you see that this is not about anything that we can see? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I read it, I think it was this morning or yesterday. The disciples said, increase our faith. You're not going to be willing to not regard your life unless your faith is where it ought to be. How do you get your faith where it ought to be? You get in this book, and you get this book in you. This book builds faith. This book builds faith. This book builds faith. Build your life on this book. This book will clean me up and keep me clean. This book will give you confidence. This book will give you courage. This book will give you wisdom to be able to give the truth, not regarding your life, as it says here, for the work of Christ. It is a call to stop putting it off. It is a call to be involved in the gospel outreach of this church. If it's not Saturday, when is it? When is it? Yes, it's 24/7, but I still believe that it's very good to have a dedicated time set aside for gospel outreach. And you don't need to do it alone. Remember what he said about Epaphroditus? He was my brother. Men, there's plenty of other men in here. We've got to carve out time. And we can't keep putting it off. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Are you saved? Are you saved? Then you have a testimony. I just wrote about it this morning in the devotional. Powerful verses of today, if you haven't read it yet. Not so much what I wrote, but what God wrote. If you're saved, you have no excuse. And I have no excuse. Because you have something to give someone that was given to you. And to whom much is given, much is required. I'm calling to you today. I'm calling on you today with the authority of the Word of God. That we would be willing, as it says here, to not regard our life. But you see, I have a schedule. Stop regarding your life. Well, I have to do this. Where is God in all of that? Does He have anything? Does he have a part of you, any part of you? Does he have part of me? Does he get my leftovers in the day? Does he get any time? And I'm not talking about coming to church. Praise God you're here. I'm talking about let's get down to some advanced military operations. He was a fellow soldier. You know what we need? We need some fellow soldiers. Time is short. You and I, we have vapors. That's what our life is, vapor. That's not long. I want to take whatever vapor I have left. And by the grace of God, I don't want to regard my life any longer. I want it for the work of Christ. Would you join me? Would you join me for the work of Christ? I heard this hymn history this morning, and I must share it with you as we close. The old hymn, "All People That on Earth Do Dwell." I don't think it's in our hymn book. It's in the Crown Hymn Book, which I have in my office. It was written based off of Psalm 100 by William Keith and Thomas Ken. This hymn has been translated and sung by missionaries and converts across the globe. Many years after penning this hymn, a Scottish man by the name of John Patton, maybe you've heard of him, he was a devout Christian, born into a devout Christian home, pardon me, and they dedicated him at birth to foreign missions. Pause right here. Parents, please don't limit your kids from serving God. Please encourage them to serve God. You cannot force it on them. I don't believe in that. But you can create an atmosphere in your home at a very early age that it is good to serve God. Don't wait till they're 13 years old and trying to convince them to serve God. And by the way, the greatest example is you serving God. You cannot say you should be going to outreach when you never come. That doesn't work. Please don't tell them that, actually, because that's worse. Pardon me, I don't mean to be rude, but that's the truth. It would be better for you not to tell them to come if you're not willing to go. Make an environment for serving God. He was a successful evangelist in Glasgow, a newlywed. When he answered the call to be a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands in the Pacific Ocean, one man said to him, quote, "You will be eaten by the cannibals." If I would have been told that, that's probably all it would have took. That's not for me. I'm just being honest. To which he replied, "Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave." Oh, my goodness. Ooh. "There to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms." A lot of truth to that. "And in the great day," he said, "my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." Within 3 months of arriving, he buried his wife and son, who died of illness. He laid them in graves, and then he laid by their graves to keep the cannibals from coming and digging up their bodies and eating them. I've already lost most of you. Who would dare? Who would be crazy enough? Despite depression and grief, he stayed. For the next 4 years, he worked at translating scripture and hymns, one of which is the one I'm telling you about. And he saw very few converts in years. The problem arose on the island, and there was no fresh water and no rain. Patton then made a bold claim to the villagers that God would provide water by a well. The villagers laughed at Patton, saying, "Water could never come from the ground." We kind of know a little bit different than that today, don't we? Yet he dug and struck water. The chief of the island stood before the people and said, "Wonderful is the work of your Jehovah God. No god of Anawa ever helped us in this way. The Jehovah God has sent us rain from the earth. Why should he not also send us his son from heaven?" Revival came. 12,000 cannibals. accepted Christ. Because one man said, I'm not going to regard my life for the cause of Christ. 300 churches were planted all over the island. On the Lord's Day, you could hear former cannibals singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's the song that he wrote. We call it the doxology. But they sang it from their voices. Today, a church stands just a few feet away from where his wife and son were buried. You know, Mr. Patton, he's just one example of many, many others that did not regard their life. And in many cases, God allowed their life to be taken for the work of Christ. My dear friend is in heaven today. His wife is with us. He did not regard his life. He was real, a genuine sinner like you and me, but he was real. He loved God. He loved his family. But God was first. And as his wife testified, in her own life, God was first. And because of that, these last 3 years, the grace of God has been evident in her life. I don't preach this message because my friend is with the Lord. I won't even use his name online. But I can't help but think about him. I have their old prayer card on my table. I have their new prayer card on my office. The only two prayer cards that are on my desk are theirs. Because there's a testimony. I mean a real life testimony of someone I know. And then there's a real life testimony, a live testimony who's someone that's really alive. He would not want to come be with us today. He's with the Lord. He did not regard his life. Was it a risk? Yes, it was. But Epaphroditus, he made a risk. Why? So we can talk about him? No. So we can talk about Christ. For the work of Christ. Please, church, it is my responsibility to preach. You have individual soul liberty. Please. Yield that to the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's stop regarding our life. Shall we pray?